Welcome to the ADHD Alchemy Podcast, where women with ADHD finally feel seen, understood, and unapologetically themselves. If you have ever felt like you're too much and not enough all at the same time, you're in the right place because that's the alchemy, learning how both come together to make something priceless. I'm Jessica Covington, holistic ADHD coach and fellow fancy brain, and I'm really glad you're here. Let's get into it. Welcome to ADHD Alchemy. It's more than a podcast. It's also my signature coaching program at Fitology, and it's perfect for bright, sensitive women who are tired of feeling scattered and chaotic and ready to feel calm, clear, and finally in control. Inside the program, group or private, we quiet the relentless inner critic, we break old patterns of procrastination and self-sabotage, and start redefining ADHD on your own terms. So in just a few weeks, you'll find yourself more grounded, confident, and leading your life with intention by learning to work with your fancy brain instead of against it. If that speaks to you, find out more at fitology.com. That link is in the show notes. Today, we have with us Kelly Velasquez, the founder of Life Between the Systems, where she helps professionals design unique systems that create ease instead of overwhelm. After more than 12 years in corporate operations, Kelly discovered that most people struggle not because they're bad at systems, but because they're trying to force fit someone else's framework into their own life. Now she specializes in optimizing the intersection of work, life, and tech, helping clients build systems that work with their brain, energy, and real life constraints instead of against them. Kelly works three CEO days a week while raising her one-year-old daughter, proving that sustainable success doesn't require choosing between your career and your life. Her mission is to help people stop surviving at the intersection and start thriving there, designing systems that bring flow, clarity, and breathing room to every area of life. Kelly, that is beautiful, sacred work, and I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for making the time.
Thank you for having me, Jessica.
So set the scene for us when it comes to ADHD showing up in your life. How did that all come about?
So I have to mention, I've not officially been diagnosed, but I've basically had a whole connection with a lot of people that have. And essentially, I've seen all of the things that help, all the little habits that people have posted that actually like bring me a little bit more clarity to my days. So essentially, in 2021, I realized that I had in 2021, I realized that I had a lot of things that were going on in my corporate life, and essentially that brought full on focus into it. And in the same year, my partner brought on his two kids from his previous marriage. And that turned my world around. And basically, in a good way, and then also in a way that it was chaotic for my own self. From living by myself to having to figure out emotions, having to figure out how to split my day physically and mentally, where I used to be able to go from 9 a.m. till midnight working. Now I actually had to have a home life. So that is a very different mind state that I had to be in, and how to program my time to fit me. It no longer worked. So it was very chaotic. And that's kind of where it started, and trying to figure out what was happening to my head. And from there, I also realized, looking back into my college years, like, and a little bit into high school, about I started to see those things in there, but I've never knew what it was or that it was something to look into. So that's kind of where it all came true to me. And as I am now, years later, I still feel like I'm still trying to figure out the right mix of tools and systems and advice that could actually help me.
Yeah, a lot of us are. I think Sometimes it's a perpetual process because sometimes we can find something that works for a while until it doesn't, and then we need to shift. So that makes
Correct.
perfect
That's
sense.
kind of how it feels. Especially like now having a daughter, it feels like I had to relearn that again. And like everything that actually worked for like 3, 4 years, like okay, throw that out. Let's do it again. And I'm like, okay. So I'm in that stage of relearning what works for me mentally.
Now, you mentioned earlier before we hit record that the things you used to be able to cope with became unmanageable once kids were in the picture. And I actually just reiterated some of that. And that is such a familiar story for a lot of this audience. And it seems to be a common theme of women who realize ADHD as adults, period. The stuff that used to work just doesn't anymore. And I'm curious if having to figure out your own systems in some ways led you into the work that you do now with helping other people figure out theirs.
Yes, it's definitely what worked. Originally, I was trying to start a business into more of a career coaching because I did use systems to sort of level up myself in the corporate place that I was in. I was figuring out that I did not love what I was doing anymore, so I started to create things in the back end. And those creations got me noticed, and I created my own entire role. So I was trying to push towards that direction, but then I spoke with people, and by connecting in like lives and stuff like that and collaborating, I was able to realize that I was told it's like, oh, you should make this something for people because a lot of people cannot see the connections between what they already have or what they need to make their career, their life, and their tech just kind of work together instead of having three separate things trying to have a life of their own. So that's kind of because of other people connecting with what I had to offer is where Life Between the Systems kind of came about.
Nice. I don't want to put you on the spot here, so you can take a pass if you want to, but I would love to hear about just one example of a system you've created that blends and merges work, life, home, or other
Everything.
domains. How do you do that?
A very fun one that I like to use is using NFC tags. I don't have an example right now, but basically they're like these little things here. What I do with them is I use it as triggers. So when you tap your phone on these things, you can have them all over your home. They're sticky. So when you tap your phone, you use the shortcuts app in your phone, and essentially it does something. So it triggers based on tapping it. So a fun one I use is if I have clothes in the washing machine, I always forget that they are running, and that's like a typical thing that I know people have. So once I put it in and I put start, I tap it on my phone and I get an automatic timer. So that way I don't have to be thinking like, okay, I have to now set a time or nothing. I just have to tap it and it's right by the washing machine and that's it. And the same thing for the dryer. Another thing I have is in the kitchen with my supplements. So it automatically like tells me that I checked it off in my calendar so that it's done because sometimes I forget, especially if it's something that has to be done twice or three times a day. And in terms of like work and life, basically like let's say a grocery list while you're working, I have if something finished, you use those NFC tags as well. You tap it and like it adds it up to your grocery list. So like when you're on the run of moving, so like for example, my morning and afternoon is kind of work mode. So I don't want to be thinking of life, but obviously you still have things that are happening, especially as a stay-at-home mom. You basically need things that doesn't take you out of the workflow, but still make things continue going. So that's kind of the fun parts that I have implemented and actually has made things like a little bit like a game as well. And I'm playing with them a little bit more to try and see what I can bring forth and create more of, to make things a little bit more automated without having to have a full tech house, let's say.
Yes, exactly. That's genius. I've never heard of these tags. Tell me the name again. NSC?
NFC. Yeah,
NFC.
they're coming very like different shapes, and they're actually like pretty cheap. They're like $6 or something like that on Amazon, and they're reprogrammable. It's very, very easy to like create with the Shortcuts app if you have your an Apple phone, and if you don't, then on Android there's about two apps as well that I can't remember the name right now, but essentially you can also automate things with it. So it's a low level tech that doesn't require you to be like so in the tech for you to actually know how to use it, but it creates so much flow into your day once you know what to do with it.
Beautiful. I will find a link for that and put it in the show notes as well.
Yeah, I mean, also the fun one is on the
Oh.
water bottle. So I have a struggle with trying to finish up water. So I have one that once I finish that bottle, then it triggers like the amount into my how much water I actually take, and then also a reminder to like refill and re-add water so I don't get
Amazing.
dehydrated.
Wow, that is
Yes.
incredible.
Thank you.
In your work, you also use what you call the 3A system. Can you talk about that and how you came up with it?
Yes, so the first step to things working is basically auditing, aligning yourself to whatever you have found through your audit, and then automate. What I figure out is with having an audit is, first of all, you need to understand like what it is that you're doing and what do you have in your back end that works for you. And once you know that information, then you can start to realize like what is actually still working, what do I need to remove, and what can maybe work a little bit better, like what it could be optimized. I think in this era where we have so much technology tools, we are getting a little bit overwhelmed about, do I need this other one? Do I need that other one? And essentially it makes it like you don't even know what you have. What you can use with each one. You're just using like maybe one piece out of one. And that costs a lot when you think about it, all the subscriptions, everything is now subscription based. And also it's chaotic in the terms that you have to manage all of these softwares, all of these tools, logins, and all the emails that the companies send to try and keep you in the system, obviously. So the first step is just kind of understanding what do you have. What needs to get rid of and must be optimized. Sorry. The next step is aligning. So you have tools there. Yes, those are the ones that you're using. And then afterwards, you have to align them to make them towards you. Like what makes it work for you? Because it's a fun thing to have all of the latest tools, but essentially, is it working out for who you are? Is it uniquely purposeful for you? Or is it just because it's a trend and it's what people are saying to use? And the third step is like once you know what you're having, and it's for you, then you can see how you can automate it so that it flows into your day and to your life itself. So a tool can work and it could be perfect for you, but then how do you integrate it into your actual workflow of life? So, as I said, the NFCs are something that brings me a little bit of a connection between my tech and the day and the workflow of actual career. So that's how I kind of make things connect together without it being a traumatic experience of a whole bunch of tools without speaking together.
Yeah.
So
And then
that's
the third
basically what
step?
it is. That's the automate process. So
Automate.
essentially, once you, yeah, basically you take in the information of how that tool works for you and then try to integrate it into a flow of your life. So instead of just having, I don't know, headphones. So like, what can I do with those headphones to make it work a little bit more efficient? Do I need to remember them? Do I need to position them somewhere? So it's about creating the system behind it, to help proceed
Got it.
and flow better.
Yeah. Got it. So audit, align, and automate.
Correct.
When you were first talking about the audit and figuring out what you already have going on in the background versus what's available on the market, immediately my mind went to this idea that with ADHD, a lot of times we're drawn to novelty.
Exciting. Yes.
And really attracted to that brand new thing on the market, even if it does exactly the same thing as something we already have and already have paid for. But there's something magical that that we start to believe about this new thing.
Yes.
So I can see immediately, even just in that first step of auditing, how useful this 3A system could be for neurodivergent minds. Do you have other examples or other ideas of how the 3A system is especially useful for somebody who thinks differently?
Yes. So, essentially with I am also like guilty on the whole accepting everything, like trials, everything, especially in this era where it's like tools are coming out so fast that
Yeah.
you basically cannot keep up, and you think like, oh, that's the next best thing. That's the next best thing that you need to take. So I've actually like figured out myself that I need to work out with what is possible with the systems that are mentally, because there's an aspect to it that people think that systems is all about technology, but it's
Yeah.
not. It's actually systems about your mental, sorry, your mental processes, and also the fact that people need to understand the physical systems that are around in your life, the people that you care for. And yeah, so I've worked out systems for my mental thought process. So as I mentioned earlier, resisting is a system for me. Trying to figure out how do I keep myself flowing when my mind is telling me stop or telling me like I need to rest. And from that, I've gathered 15-minute steps, you know, like how can I proceed to push forward? Okay, 15-minute timer. This is my little timer here. I just need to have 15 minutes. If by 15 minutes I do not feel the push to continue working, then I know, you know, rest is necessary. So this is why it's important to, once we see the tech stack or whatever tools that we're having, because it could also be what you use physically, not just digitally. We can then proceed to cater to the individuals, and that's where the aligning part comes through. We cater to the individual person and then try and figure out how that how do you call it? How that tool or that system actually works for you in your mind, in your physical, and in, you know, the digital work that you do. So it's trying to look at systems in like a three-dimensional form.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I love how you mentioned the excuse me, the 15-minute example and balancing the recognition that the resistance you're feeling might just be resistance or it might be actual exhaustion and need for
Tiredness.
rest. And so I love it so much that you have figured that out for yourself and are willing to take the break and take the rest. And honor what your body's telling you if that's the case. So that's amazing. Speaking of time, one of the most common things we struggle with around ADHD is time, how we perceive time passing, how we use it. What is your experience of the way time passes and the way you use it so that you are getting done the way the things you want and need to do.
Yes, that's really still a struggle for me, if I'm being very honest. When I was in college, a little bit before that even, I used to think that I was I used to thrive under pressure, and I actually thought that that was a superpower. But because I felt that, I also, when I was in my journey to wanting to be a ER surgeon, actually, I thought that that was the superpower that could make me proceed into that, you know, because obviously it's you don't get chance to think, you just have to do. But when I was in college and the exams and everything came through, I was always in this pressure, internal pressure and stress and panic. But I used to do everything else except the studying. And then the time came where the test was the next day or a couple of days before. And obviously, I would have to be like panicking, like, why didn't I do this before? Why didn't I study prior? And it's just that feeling was insane. And looking back at it, it was like I wish I was a little bit more kinder to myself with it. But work-wise, in my corporate life, it also became a struggle, even though no one noticed, because obviously once there's external deadlines, that I will do those. But if it was deadlines for myself, then yeah, that's the pain. Because like, why can't I do it for everybody else, but can't it for myself? And lastly, now time by blindness, especially like managing time with a toddler, it's very chaotic and trying to understand like how do I fit. So I yeah, I think that's where the main for me time is very, if it's not physically present in front of me, which like why I always have to have my watch charged because if I then don't know what's happening. And in Europe, where I was living for all my life, once it's winter time, it's always dark. So it's not like the sun can give you that sort of like it's morning, it's night. And so it's a lot of conditioning that I've had over the years and a lot of healing that I'm currently in the process of for time, particularly.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's nothing quite like a toddler at home to bend and twist times in unusual ways. That's for sure. As business owners, I think ADHD can make us really fantastic, amazing at generating ideas and oftentimes starting them. But then it gets really difficult sometimes to finish the amazing stuff we started, to persist through the resistance. Sometimes it's even difficult to get started. Do
Correct.
you work with people who feel that way and have that show up in their lives? And if so, what do you do to help them?
Yes, I do work with people like that, especially because I think my inner circle of entrepreneurial friendships, they're all multi-passionate people. So that comes with this idea, that idea. Oh, I got this idea. Maybe I can integrate it with this one. And we get into that loop of how do you move forward with even just one? And that problem means that you're essentially just like kind of stuck in a loop of new idea. How do I make it better? Work on it for 2 weeks, then a new idea comes about and you go in the same cycle. I'm guilty of that for at least the last 5 years. So this is the longest time that I've actually stuck to something and I'm making it work. Because I'm very passionate about it and it does not feel boring, or if I'm like trying to change who I am. So this one feels natural to me, and I think that's why I'm proceeding in that process of it. But with my friends, I like to know where they are at, what's their main mission currently, what's their passion that is like their business that's moving them forward, to try and keep them aligned to like, hey, at least do a little bit every week towards this goal, because obviously we need the other things to sort of keep the side quests are necessary, is what I've always figure out for myself. But it's how to get back on it in the path is, I guess, communication is one of the biggest factors in the entrepreneur world friendship side of things to sort of keep them aligned. to what they said, like, okay, this is what I need to do. This is the mission. Please keep me accountable. So accountability and communication is where I kind of offer. It may not be the part of the business side of things too much, but it's more about I am keeping your mission in my head to make sure that I remind you what it is that you're doing, and they're doing that in turn for me as well.
Yeah, that reciprocity is not to be underestimated for sure.
Yeah, it's helpful, and I think that's the only reason why I've gotten to where I am now
Yeah.
with my business and life between the systems, being present in things like this. So
Yeah. That's amazing. And it's something that you said really struck a chord with me too, that this is the longest you've been with something because it feels natural.
yeah.
And I feel a similar way about the coaching that I'm doing because even though I had been in another career path for even longer than the 10 years I've been coaching, this is where I feel like I can really bring my whole self to work and not have to be somebody different when I'm working. I can actually be my weird, quirky, forgetful, sometimes distracted self, and it's okay because those are the people I'm working with too.
Correct.
So as
That
we,
the right people always find you
oh, that's so true. That's so true.
when you're true to
Birds of a feather
yourself.
really do flock together.
Yeah, exactly.
So as we start to wrap up here, thinking about all your experience in corporate and coaching and systems, and even more than that, what do you really want people to know about having a differently wired brain? If you could broadcast one big important message to the world, what would it be?
I think that it's maybe a little bit corny, but it's being kind to yourself in the process of figuring out who you are. It's kind of the biggest thing that I've had to like learn for myself as well, because I've always been under the wave of perfectionism, and I always thought that I had to be like structured and I'm a Capricorn, which means that they also stand by the structure, and it has to be like blah, blah, blah. And for me, it's like I've tried to mimic that for I think all of my life. And it's now that I figure out like it's okay for me to figure out what works. Like if today is not it, that's fine. I can still do something else that doesn't take too much mental capacity, but still be able to move forward in one way or another. So I think that's why having the side quests and everything still feels good, because maybe you don't feel good to like do something that requires so much deep work, but you can still do something that's a little bit more fun and your body's feeling for it. So I think kindness and accepting that it doesn't need to be, you don't need to put so much friction on your own progress. You can progress in different ways, even if it's a little task that day, but be kind towards the process and the person that's doing it. That's, think that's a
Love that.
message to myself too.
It is. I think it's a great message for all of us. The self-compassion, the flexibility, and the acceptance is just, it's a great message. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And thank
Thank
you
you.
so much for being here and for sharing. Your systems
Thank you for having
approach
me.
makes so much sense for all kinds of minds. And I really appreciate how you've explained the flexibility in yours. And also the structure that makes it workable. I just know stories like yours are helping other women know that number one, they're not alone in this. And number two, there is a way to move forward. So, for those who want to reach out, how can they find you?
At this moment, I am currently building out the back end of everything, but I am in Substack. It's exactly the same name. It's Life Between the Systems. And there I am posting weekly, connecting about different little experiments that I'm working on myself as well, such as the resisting experiment, and just notes about how life after corporate has been for me and what it is that I'm rediscovering. So it's basically, as the name says, trying to find life in between all the systems that I created and currently creating.
Beautiful. Kelly, thank you again. We really appreciate it. It's time for your ADHD Alchemy Lab Kit. Three ideas from this episode that you can try in your own life. Experiment number one, the 15-minute truth test. Next time you find yourself resisting something, really dreading getting started on a task, set a 15-minute timer, get to work on the thing as best you can. And when the timer goes off, ask yourself, does this still feel really hard? Does it still feel like I'm slogging through mud to take even one more action on this task? Or have I built up a little momentum? Do I have just a little bit of energy to continue going on it for another 5 minutes or 10 or 15? The answer will guide your next move. And there are a couple of layers to this. One of those layers, just a tiny piece of this picture, is that it takes about 15 minutes for our dopamine to start to rise when we have faced something difficult. So when we have that task that we've been dreading and putting off, we get started on it. It's going to take about 15 minutes for our dopamine to increase, which gives us that feeling of motivation, gives us the feeling that maybe we can continue a little bit. If that's not happening, then maybe it's true that you really do need to rest or shift your attention to something else. Or maybe you're hungry or dehydrated, have a little food or water. Maybe you need a movement break or something else. It's important to listen to those natural rhythms of your body and honor them so that you can let the answer guide your next move. Experiment number two, audit before you add. Next time you're tempted to go out and buy that shiny new app or tool or planner or workshop or whatever it is, make a careful, comprehensive list of what you already have. And notice, you might color code these or something. Notice what you are already using that is really helpful to you. Circle what's working. And also take a look at what isn't in heavy rotation right now. What are the things that got put on the back burner and why did they get put there? Is it because they actually are not helpful and they're never going to be? Or is it because you forgot about them or got distracted with something else or just never really opened the email that it required to get there? You didn't follow the steps to be able to even use the thing in the first place. You could also consider deleting any of those things that you don't use and don't need. So the idea here is reduce before you replace. And if you can reuse something that you already have, do that. Experiment number three, create a physical trigger. So pick one small daily task that you often forget, like finishing your water or moving the laundry or taking your vitamins or something like that, and add a physical cue. Something like a sticky note or a stuffed animal that is blatantly placed in the wrong spot, a timer or a simple automation. Make your environment do the remembering for you. That is your ADHD Alchemy Lab Kit for today. I really hope you'll pick just one experiment and let me know how it goes. Thanks for listening to the ADHD Alchemy Podcast. If you're nodding along and thinking, oh yeah, that's me, then please subscribe and share this episode with another woman who gets it. Your reviews help more women discover they're not failing. They're just wired differently. And that is a good thing, despite the challenges. Plus, I want to hear your story. Apply to be a guest at myadhdalchemy.com and join my free community at fitology.com/community. Those links will be in the show notes. Together, we can rewrite the ADHD shame story into one of strength. I'll see you next time.